right. Thank you, Miss Cavanaugh. You got me, Brother Mason? You got me? All right. Super. I preached and used this illustration a little while ago back with the teenagers. Now, I'm used to preaching up in Young Fundamentalists for about 15 minutes. So if we get out in 15 minutes, don't tell preacher. No, I'm just kidding, okay? But I used this illustration a little while back. You know, the Lord laid the sermon on my heart a while ago. As a matter of fact, I preached it here in this pulpit probably 2 or 3 years ago. I don't remember when I preached it last. But the Lord laid it on my heart again, and it's just whenever preacher says, I'm going to get you to preach, I knew this is what God had for me to preach. I changed it a couple times today. I even changed the title a couple times today. First, I was going to call it, Are You a Basket Case Christian? And then I thought, no, that wouldn't be a good title. And then I text Brother Palmer, and he said, what are you preaching on, or something like that. I said, I'm preaching on Grab a Rope. He said, is that good or bad? And then I realized that could have been bad as well. Okay, some of our politicians need to grab a rope. No, I'm just kidding. So I am going to title the sermon, though, Grab a Rope. Grab a Rope. Let's go back to Acts chapter 9 and verse 18. Acts chapter 9, verse 18. This is the story of Saul after he had been converted, after he had the meeting with God on the road. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Verse 19, and when he had received meat, that's always a good thing to do, to eat. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway, this is right after he got saved, right after he got right with God, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were what? Amazed, and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Verse 23 again, and after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, but their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. The disciples let him down by the wall in a basket. I want you to picture the story tonight. Saul had just received Christ. He just got saved. Now he's going and he's doing everything against everything he had already believed. He would go to the towns and he would go to the villages and he would find out. He was like a secret agent, I guess you could call it, or undercover policeman for the people that were against those that followed Christ. He'd go into a town and anytime he would find a Christian, someone who was following Christ, he would throw them in jail. He would torture them. He would discipline them. He'd do whatever he could. And then all of a sudden, Saul get saved. You know, it's amazing when God moves in. It's amazing what God can do with a life when God moves in. You can't look at somebody and say, well, they look different, and because they look different, they aren't truly saved. No, I've got news for you. Even in our bus ministry, you could see people that may not look saved. Even in our church pews, you may see people that may not look saved. The person next to you may not even look saved, but it doesn't mean that they are or are not saved. Saul had something different. He had Jesus Christ. He had Jesus Christ. And so when he got up there and he started preaching, people started thinking, this is not real. This is not real. Do you know what that man has done? Do you know where that man has been? Do you realize he has done things to my family, my distant family? He's done things to my friends. They wrote to me and said what he did to them. Do you realize what he's done? But my, what happens when you get Jesus involved, when you get God involved? He was different. He was different. Now, it wasn't just the salvation that was different. He decided to do different after he got saved. He got right with God. He got totally and thoroughly right with God. But you see, everybody, every church has a basket. Every church has a basket. You may look at our church buses and consider them baskets. Everybody that rides a church bus is in a basket. You know, without the ropes, the basket meant nothing. You know, they could have put Saul in the basket and said, okay, Saul, lower yourself down the wall while you try and save yourself from these Jews. But he couldn't do it by himself. He had to have someone to help him. The basket was there. The person needing the help was there. But somebody else needed to grab the rope. Somebody else needed to grab the rope. Now you listen to me. Parkside Baptist Church is an amazing church. The Parkside Baptist Church ministries are amazing ministries. But just because we have a basket doesn't mean everybody gets helped. The reason we have people that cannot be helped is because we don't have enough people grabbing a rope. We don't have enough people grabbing a rope. The basket's there. The ropes are there. But not many people are grabbing the rope. Not many people are grabbing the rope. You listen to me. Saul, after he got saved, he could have gone down to that gate and he would have been killed by the Jews. That's what the Bible says. They were out to kill him. They were headed out to kill him. You know what the Bible says? Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. After a person gets saved, you know what Satan wants to do? He wants to keep them out of church. He wants to keep them from getting baptized. He wants to keep them from coming to Parkside Baptist Church. Why? Because he knows he wants to devour them. He wants to stop them from growing like they should. People get saved at Parkside Baptist Church, but guess what? We need somebody to grab a rope. We need somebody to grab a rope. So let me see here. Let me get a little person. Nick, come on up here. Take your jacket off. All right, Nick's going to come up here. He is going to be our basket case Christian. He's going to come up here and get in the basket. Think you could fit in this thing? All right, sit in that basket. Who did I use in the pot that one time I did the, was it Jeremiah? Did I pour flour all over your head? I did that with you? I'm so sorry. Did you recover? Okay, that's good. You are now a basket case Christian. Now, if you get tired, you just let me know and I'll let you out, okay? Okay. But you see, he's getting nowhere without help. Get it tonight. He's getting nowhere without help. So number one, I want you to see salvation. 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 Get the rope of salvation. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. Somebody needs to grab the rope of salvation. There are people in this room who have never been soul winning a day in their life. A day in their life. Do you realize there is somebody out there that will listen to you that will not listen to anybody else? That will not listen to anybody else. And you could be the one that rescues them. You could be the one that salvages them. You could be the one that gets them to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. But if you don't grab the rope of soul winning, if you don't grab the rope of salvation, guess what? They'll never hear that Jesus saves. Knocked on the door one time and an 80-year-old lady came to the door. 80 years old. I invited her out to the church, asked her if she knew she was going to heaven, and she said, no. So I began to show her the Bible, and she'd heard of the Bible, but get this, she had never heard about Jesus Christ. 80 years old, living right here in America, right down the street in these apartments. She had never heard about Jesus Christ. So I began to introduce her to Jesus Christ. And that 80-year-old lady bowed her head and she received Jesus Christ as her Savior. You know, all it takes is somebody saying, you know what? I may not be the smartest person in Parkside Baptist Church. I may not be the best person in Parkside Baptist Church. But you know what I can do? I can grab a rope. I can grab a rope. I can grab a rope. You see, those disciples, what did they do? They gathered around Saul. They grabbed a rope. We don't know which disciples grabbed a rope, but we know the disciples did it. And the disciples grabbed the rope and they lowered Saul down the wall. And he was rescued. All because somebody decided to grab a rope. Somebody decided to grab a rope. How are you tonight? How are you tonight? There are ropes here. There are ropes available. Are you willing to grab one? Are you willing to grab one? I was soul winning in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And teenagers, I'd never seen a teenager like this before. A teenager also had never heard of Jesus Christ as a person. I began to talk to him about church, invited him out to church, invited him out to the revival service we were having. I asked him if he knew for sure he was going to heaven, and he said no. So I began to show him. When I got to the name Jesus Christ, he said, you mean that's a person? You mean that's a person? The only thing they had ever used Jesus Christ for was to curse. He didn't even realize Jesus Christ was a person. And I was able to introduce him to the person, Jesus Christ. You listen to me. You can grab a rope. You can grab a rope. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your language skills. It doesn't matter your vocabulary skills. It doesn't matter your education level. You can grab a rope and help somebody receive Jesus Christ. But it's up to you. The ropes are here. There are plenty of people in the basket. But are you willing to grab a rope? Are you willing to grab a rope? Who is the last person you led to Christ? When is the last person you led someone to Christ? When is the last time you led someone to Christ? The ropes are available. but people aren't grabbing them. The Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. God is looking for laborers that simply step up and say, I realize this. I'm not here to play a game, and I'm not here to work a job all the time, and I'm not here to make money. I'm here to make sure Jesus Christ is glorified, and Jesus Christ, people know about him, and people know the way, the truth, and the life. That's what I was here on earth for. That's why I'm here. Why? To grab a rope and make sure people know they're going to heaven. Make sure they know they're going to heaven. Sean, come grab this rope. So how about the rope of salvation? How about the rope of soul winning? Number two. There's the rope of separation. The rope of separation. You listen to me. Just because a person is saved doesn't mean they're ready to serve Jesus Christ and be separated. You've got to help them. You've got to help them. The Bible says, come out from among them and be what? Separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Go back to Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Let's look at it real quick. Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. I ask you a question. If God looked down and said, hey, I want you to do something, could you honestly look up at him and say, I'm here. I'm here. What do you need? Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on his name. I love this, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. Say that with me. Chosen vessel. Say it loud, please. Chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and all the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, there are people out there that need you. There are people out there that need you. Don't you think for one minute that nobody needs you, that nobody loves you, that nobody cares about you. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs you. Paul was needed. Ananias was needed. But if Ananias didn't answer the call of God and grab a rope, Saul would have never been used like he needed to be used. Can you imagine Saul walking around with a cane his entire life? I imagine Saul would have still served God. I imagine Saul would have still done right. I imagine Saul would have still given God everything. But can you imagine, because of the decision of Ananias saying, no, you know what? I know, God, you want me to reach him. I know, God, you want me to do that. But God, I want to do what I want to do. Can you imagine Saul walking around the rest of his life with a cane? All because of the decision of one person not willing to obey Jesus Christ. All because of the decision of one person saying, I'm not going to grab a rope. You listen to me. There are Christians out there that need your help. There are Christians out there that need your help. There are new Christians and there are old Christians that need your help. There are young Christians and there are old Christians that need your help. There's a rope. Grab it. There's a rope. Grab it. There's a rope. Grab it. The other day, we went to the youth rally. And Brother Talley was preaching. I've never heard Brother Talley preach. He was a fireball. Absolutely incredible. He got up there, and I mean, he was just rattling off stories after stories after stories. I mean, it was just amazing. I guess the older you get, the more stories you get, too. I mean, it was just incredible. Y'all remember talking to Brother Bulkley? Okay, it was just incredible, all the stories he had, okay? But the older he got, the more stories he had. And I mean, he was just up here. He was quoting poems. I love the poem he said about his old legs and all this kind of stuff. It was hilarious. It's just watching Brother Talley preach. But he preached about being a hero, how everybody should be a hero to someone's life. And we got on the bus, and I had the teenagers give testimony. They raised their hand and give testimony. And I love what Michael Wesolowski said. Michael raised his hand. He said, I never asked to be someone's hero. He said, but I know I am, and I need to be careful with what I do. You realize it or not, you are responsible for someone. Whether you like it or not, someone is looking to see if you're in your pew tonight. Whether you like it or not, someone is seeing if you're in the choir or not. Whether you like it or not, someone is watching to see if you're in your Sunday school place or not. Hey, whether you like it or not, you're a hero to somebody. Somebody is looking up to you, and you may not realize it yet or not, but you listen to me. They're looking for you. They're searching for you just to grab a rope. Just to grab a rope. Just to grab a rope. Somebody's relying on you to obey Jesus Christ. Somebody's relying on you to obey God. Just grab a rope. Just grab a rope. Care about people. Care about people, love people. The rope of separation, the rope of separation. One of our teenagers, heard about him buying a suit for one of our bus kids. Say, what is that? That's being separated. That's being separated. You should be willing to help everybody. Now you listen to me. You may look at them and say, I don't want to help them. They're not helpable. Have you ever heard somebody say this? If they were really saved, you've heard it. If they were really saved, they wouldn't do that. How many of you have heard that statement before? I have. And I've had to catch myself sometimes before saying that, because when you say that, you're putting yourself on the level of God. Did you realize a saved person can commit the same sins as a lost person? I want you to take your Bibles and see something that I saw today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, if they're really saved, if they're truly saved, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do that. I've heard preachers say that before, and it puts doubt in people's hearts and minds if they're really saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Here's a verse that they use as well. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. People look at that verse and go, see, if they're really saved, old things would be passed away and all things would become new. But that's not what the verse is talking about. Look at the very first part of the verse. Therefore, if any man be what? In Christ. Say it again. In Christ. It does not say, therefore, if Christ be in any man, he is a new creature. When a person receives Jesus Christ, Christ comes in. Christ saves them. Christ will take them to heaven. But you look at that verse very carefully. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A person must decide, I'm going to be separated. A person must decide, I'm going to get right with God. A person must decide, I'm going to please Jesus Christ. That is when things start to change. A person that says, you know what, I'm going to stop drinking. That, they were already saved, but they say, I'm going to stop drinking. That is a person that says, I'm going to live separated. I'm going to grab a rope, and I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop drinking. You know what happens? Their life is changed. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You ever seen a person that gets right with God? It's like their whole life turns around. You ever seen a person that gets their heart right with their mom and dad? All of a sudden, they get really happy. They get really happy. You check out a teenager that's fully right with their mom and dad, and they're walking around the house with a smile on their face, and they're happy. Why? Because they're separated. They're separated. Be very careful looking at somebody saying, they're not saved. If they were saved, they wouldn't do that. No. If they're in Christ, they wouldn't do that. A person, that's why I changed the words of great change since I've been born again. We changed it. There's been a great change since I got right with God. Because a lot of our teenagers, they're saved and on the way to heaven, they just need to stay right with God and get right with God and continue being right with God. You see, for you to walk around and say, well, I don't want to help them because they're not really saved. If I help them, I mean, look at them. They dress different. They walk different. They talk different. You listen to me. I don't believe Saul had all the vernacular of an independent fundamental Baptist, but just because he didn't look the same and just because he didn't walk the same, and just because he had a bad testimony and a bad rep doesn't mean that he didn't need help. You listen to me. There's somebody sitting in your pew that needs you. There's somebody sitting in your section that needs you. There's somebody sitting in this auditorium tonight that needs you. But if you don't grab the rope, you listen to me. There are some scars that will never be healed by God because you didn't do your job. Saul received his sight because a Christian was obedient and grabbed a rope. You listen to me. Christian didn't obey God and grab the rope in that person's life. That person was no longer helped. that person was no longer helped. I'm going to show you what I mean. Let me see. Let me think here. Who's been at Parkside a long time? Okay, let's, Emily Watkins, come up here. Just stand right here in the front. I want you to see something. Let's pretend Emily is a basket case, okay? She's a basket case. I want you to see something. If you have had any part in this girl's life, spiritually, whether it be mom and dad, Sunday school teacher, bus captain, bus worker, friend that's helped her in Bible reading or whatever, if you've had any part in her life spiritually, come stand up here around her right now. Come stand up here. If you've taught her in Sunday school, your parents, FAR, whatever it may be, anything that has touched her life at all in any way, shape, or form, come up here. I want you to see something. I want you to get something with me. I want you to realize this. You know, Emily Watkins is one kid, one teenager. Do you see how many people have been involved in her life? Do you see this? Whether it's from Sunday school, whether it's a bus route, whether it's something else in the church, they've been involved in her life spiritually. But you listen to me. Let's say one of these people decided not to grab a rope. Let's say five of these people decided not to grab a rope. Let's say four of these people decided not to grab a rope. Guess what? Emily would not be what she is today if one person had decided not to grab a rope. You listen to me. Every Christian in this room needs you. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself. They need you. Saul needed Ananias. Saul needed somebody to grab a rope. And just like Saul needed somebody to grab a rope, every person in this room needs somebody else to help them. They need somebody else to help them. Do you realize, thank you, you may be seated. Do you realize there are some people in this room who have not been privileged to be here as long as some of these people? And they haven't had a long time to be here. They haven't been helped as much. But they still have ropes. When's the last time you reached into somebody's life and just said, hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, you want to go soul winning together? Hey, you want to sit by me in church? You say people really need that? Yes, people really need that. You see, here's the rope. We've got Christians sitting in a basket and they need help. They need you. Never discount the fact you say they don't need me. They do need you. So pick up the rope and help them. Pick up the rope and love them. Pick up the rope and serve them. The rope of separation. Alex, come hold this. The rope of salvation or soul winning. How are you at grabbing the ropes? Grab the ropes. Number three, and I'll be done. The rope of service. Look down in Acts chapter 9, verse 26. The Bible says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Verse 27. But, what's his name? Barnabas. You can call him Barney. Old Barney took him, brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and they had spoken unto him, and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. You listen to me. People need you. I go around the youth department and I'll look at a teenager and say, hey, here's a new teenager. And I'll introduce them to them. You know, that's all Barnabas was doing. He said, hey, this is a visitor in church. And this is what he did. He got saved. And all of a sudden the disciples are like, wow, okay. Oh, he got saved. Wow, that is amazing. And all he did was introduce him. That's all he did. You know, sometimes all a person needs is you to introduce them to somebody else. That's all they need, just you to be a friend to them. How's your area of service? One day there's a bus captain. He went up and he knocked on the door, and the mom came to the door, and he said, are your kids coming tomorrow? And she said, no, they're not coming tomorrow. He said, why aren't they coming? She said, oh, it's just for personal reasons. They're not coming. He looked in there, and the kids are there, and the kids You could see it all over their face. You could tell when a kid wants to come to church, but mom and dad are saying, no, they can't come. He said, well, what could I do to get them to come to church? She said, you don't understand. She closed the door a little bit. And she said, they don't have any shoes. I don't want to send them to church because they don't have any shoes. That bus captain went away. And you know how bus captains are, and even bus workers. They don't have much money. Walk away. They spend all their money on candy. They don't have any money for anything else. To spend their money on candy and popsicles and pizza and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So he didn't have any money. He's thinking, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He went away and he came back the next morning. The bus was outside and he knocked on their door. The mom opened the door and she said, I told you they're not coming. He said, please let them come. Please let them come. She looked down to that bus captain's feet. And the bus captain had taken his shoes and socks off. He said, if your kids have to come to church without shoes and socks, I'll go to church without shoes and socks. We'll wait on them to get ready. Those kids got on the bus, went to Sunday school, enjoyed church. That old bus captain was sitting back in the pews. And the preacher looks down there and one of the staff looks at him and says, preacher, he's not wearing shoes because he loves the bus kids. He loves the bus kids. He loves the bus kids. How's your area of serving other people? Is it all about you or is it about somebody else? Is it all about your way or is it about somebody else's way? You see, there's the rope. We've got Christians in a basket. They need help. They need help. Just like Saul was needing help, all he did was show up and say, he was thinking, man, I've heard about the disciples and I want to be a part of this church. And they were like, no, 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 no. But Barnabas comes in, old Barney comes in and says, hey, you don't understand. This is a different guy. He got saved and it doesn't matter what he did before then. It doesn't matter about any of that. And I understand he may have to build a little credit, but you just listen. He just needs somebody to help him up. He just needs somebody to help him up. There's somebody that needs you tonight. Have you stopped soul winning? Have you stopped soul winning? Have you stopped serving people? Have you stopped caring about people? Have you stopped loving people? Are you in a rut in your Christianity so much to so that nothing even matters anymore? Hey, the ropes are here. Grab a rope. Grab a rope. Saul couldn't make it down the wall on his own. He needed help. He needed help. He needed help. Let's say they just decide not to help. What's going to happen to this guy? What's going to happen to this guy? Let's say a mom and dad decide not to keep their kids in church. What's going to happen to that kid? Say a mom and dad stop pushing their teens to go out soul winning. What's going to happen to those kids? Let's say a family decides to stop reading their Bible together. What's going to happen to that family? The ropes are here. Grab a rope. Grab a rope. Grab a rope. Somebody needs you to grab a rope. You say, all it is a text message. Sometimes that's all you need. Send them a text message. Well, all it is just a handwritten note. Sometimes that's all a person needs is a handwritten note. You say, all I did was go up to them and say, hi, how you doing? And that kept them in church? Yep, sometimes that's all that keeps people in church is you just being an encourager. You just being an encouragement. You listen to me. Our preacher needs somebody to grab a rope. Our church needs somebody to grab a rope. Our bus ministry needs somebody to grab a rope. Our youth ministries need somebody to grab a rope. Our children's ministries need somebody to grab a rope. Our special needs ministries need somebody to grab a rope. Our deaf ministry needs somebody to grab a rope. Our soul winning ministry needs somebody to grab a rope. There are plenty of ropes here at Parkside Baptist Church. All you got to do is grab one. All you got to do is grab one. See, there's no place for me at Parkside Baptist Church. Oh, there is. There's plenty of places for you. You just got to be willing to grab the rope that God gives you. It may not be as thick of a rope as somebody else, but there's still a rope for you. Thank you, guys. Go sit down. Thank you, Nick. Go sit down. You listen to me. Our goal as Parkside Baptist Church is to get people out of the basket. When a person gets saved, they're stuck. They're in a basket. They need help. They need help. When a person goes down a path that messes up their life, you listen to me, they need help. If a teenager messes up, they don't need me to throw a rope down. They need me to pick them up. If a teenager messes up, they don't need you parents to throw the ropes down and say, I give up. They need you to grab the rope. They need you to help them out. They need you to encourage them. They need you to make sure that you're there for them. Hey, the reason a lot of people, when they mess up, they never go back to church and they never keep serving God is because Christians threw the ropes down and gave up on them. Now you listen to me. Our goal is to get people out of the basket. If you're sitting there thinking, yes, I need people to help me. I need people in my life. I need people to help me. If you've taken this message that way, let me help you. You ready? Let me help you. You need to relocate. You need to relocate from the basket. Hope this works. From the basket to the ropes. You have to forgive me. I ate chocolate chip cookies, okay? From the basket to the ropes. Hey, you listen to me. Grow out of the basket. Don't stay there. Do we want to help everybody in this room? Yes. But our goal is to promote people from the basket to the ropes. How can Parkside Baptist Church grow if everybody in here promotes out of the basket into a rope? How can I get a whole family in church? Get out of the basket, grab a rope. Grab a rope. How can I overcome all of this in my life? Change places. Go from a basket filler to a rope holder. Let's just imagine they just left Saul alone. Let's say it started with the disciples. Or no, it started with Ananias and he just left him alone. Saul would have gone around a cripple. But Ananias grabbed a rope. Those disciples, they're standing at the top of the wall and they had a basket for him. We can help you down. Because they helped him down, he avoided the mob that was there to kill him. How are you tonight? Grab a rope. Grab a rope. The thing that'll calm criticism is when you grab a rope. The thing that will calm bad attitudes is when you grab a rope. It's when you grab a rope. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please.